B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Listen, we're thrilled our next guest. Everybody sit tight as we take inventory. No better guy to take inventory, particularly with those ailing woes at wide receiver. We have talked to him, but he knows this sport inside and out, every position. That's right. Jason Avant on the Comcast Business Hotline. What's up, Jay?
Yo, cuz. How you doing, sir?
My main man. You know what's crazy? My little boy is having his birthday party at your place.
I'm excited about it.
Your trampoline. Right. I didn't even know that. I didn't have no idea. I just found
out. I'm excited. We have a great time.
That's cool. That's a good spot. I heard great things about it.
Save Lawrence Trampoline Park. We love anyone to come out and try us. We do way more than trampolines, Ninja Warrior, rock climbing, arcade, VR, everything. Birthday parties, corporate events.
The VR too. I took the real little one to the VR place one time, and we had a great time. That stuff's awesome. The VR stuff.
Yeah, it's great, man. It's entertaining, man. You need to give your mind a break sometime from all the work.
Yeah, brother. All right, so the mindless stuff now is aside. All the pleasantries aside here, we got to figure out what's going on with this team. And what would you do right now, knowing you had no Deshaun? What's your answer for this receiving core?
Well, there's only one thing that you really can do now. So because you allowed yourself to be in a position to depend on Deshaun in this situation. And I'll go back. Let me take a step back. Okay, so this is where, you know, players coach and, you know, valuing the player's opinion over the medical mindset, you know, kind of hurts you. So if Doug goes out and more of a, you know, a disciplinarian, you say, hey, Deshaun, either you get surgery or we have to put you on IR because we can't allow you to handicap the rest of our year depending on, you know, your body to recover when we know that you're 32 years old, right? So now you put yourself in a position because you didn't do that to be scavengers. Now you have to go in and look, see whose players have been injured on PUP and try to get someone.
That's a great word,
too.
One
of their guys come back, you know. So you're scavengers now. You're looking across the league and see, okay, well, their guy hurt earlier in the year. Is he coming back? Now they're going to cut one of their guys on the roster. Maybe we can get that guy now, a guy that you really don't want, but you're in this position because you didn't have the opportunity to get Emmanuel Sanders because you're depending on Deshaun Jackson.
Wow, that's brilliant. Brilliant. You're a scavenger now.
You turn into a scavenger.
Any of these, like, bottom dwellers, like the, you know, that you're going to go pick up? Anybody interested? Like, you interested in any of these guys? J.J. Nelson, Jordy Nelson, the kid, there's that kid Jennings that the bro was talking about who got cut from Seattle, who was a fourth-round pick. There's not enough room. Anybody interested at all?
Yeah, so like the name that people love J.J. Nelson just because he's fast, but J.J. Nelson can't catch, mm-hmm. right? So do you add another guy that struggles with catching the ball to a receiver core that already has problems catching the ball and, you know, is rated last in the league when it comes to drops? So I don't think that's the solution. Jordan Matthews, I know that they brought him in. He's going to at least have a rapport with Carson Wentz, so that's good. But they're going to need some speed. I was kind of disappointed that Torrey Smith turned them down. Yeah. The report said he turned them down because Torrey can run even at his age. He still can run. The other guys, Jordy Nelson, he's recovering from injuries and different things like that. I don't think that there is like a viable option the rest of this year. The thing that you have to do is do what New England did when they had Hernandez and they had Gronkowski.
Yeah.
You got to make Goddard and you have to make Ertz your number one option and use Miles Sanders as James White. So now you're playing small ball and you're just giving the receivers the leftovers rather than making them the feature. So you just have to revamp the way that you think about passing the football. Run it through your tight ends, run it through the running back, and then put, you know, Alshon Jeffery, give him 3-4 targets a game, and then everyone else is just, you know, when you get the ball, when the ball, when he was third or fourth read, you know, but not important at all.
Yeah, I hear you. And see, we're talking about taking inventory today. Jason Avant with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. And so playing that small ball, and I agree, that's kind of what you have to do. The only thing is, your defense good enough to get you where you want to go? Like, that's, see, you know, look at Baltimore. Baltimore could play that style, and they're dynamic too, but Baltimore could play a style of run the ball and grind it. They also have a great defense to complement that. The Eagles' defense is built to have a lead.
True. Yeah, so do I think that, yeah, so we're going to have to depend on the run game, and the more you practice the run, the better your defense gets at it, right? So the Eagles wanted to start this season as a prolific passing offense. Deshaun gets hurt, they're not prolific anymore, and they're not explosive anymore. So you adapt and you adjust. They have to practice against each other and practice. And the more you can put, you know, and practice the run game, like instead of just passing passing drills in practice, let's start creating some live drills where the defense is starting to see, you know, maybe a tight end leading up into the hole, or Jordan Howard leading up to the hole with Miles Sanders behind him, so they can learn how to be physical. And that's how defenses become physical. The reason the Ravens defense is physical is they had to practice against the Ravens offense. So I think that it can work, but even, you know, the small ball game with the tight ends, like passing, I don't necessarily think that you have to be, you know, a small ball passing attack with those tight ends, because they can run. You just have to put them in more situations. Put Miles Sanders on a go route versus a linebacker.
Yeah.
Put him on a post route or something. Some creativity, and Doug has to do that. This is this time to do a self-scout this time of the year.
Yeah,
because you have this bye week. You're always scouting the opponent. This is your time as a coach to see what you do well, what you do badly, poorly, and figure it out. And then start targeting the guys that has been productive. Zach Ertz historically has been productive. Forget all of the nonsense of Carson's favorite and all that stuff. If he's the only one that's going to get open consistently, him and Goddard, throwing the ball despite the wishes of, you know, Alshon Jeffery and the others.
I'm with you. I think you're right. And that's one of the reasons why we're taking inventory, is that bye week is always self-scout. And this is the only way. I think you're right. I think the rest of the season is on Doug. And if Doug can figure out something, and really figure out the start of games too. Like, you got to be better in the first quarter.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
So that leads me now to Carson, because now Carson has taken a ton of shrapnel this year. There was a caller this morning who said that Carson Wentz was exposed, which I just don't get, but maybe I'm missing something. What's your view and your take on Wentz for the first 9 games of the year?
Carson has been the victim of a lot of bad receiver play at times. And then he's also missed a bunch of throws. And we can't, there's always like give and take when it comes to bad and good, right? So when the quarterback does great, everyone praises him.
Yeah.
When he does bad, everyone jumps on his, you know, case. But when receivers do bad, some of it is the quarterback, not all of it. Most of this has just been bad receiver play and not catching the football, because, you know, even Alshon this past game, the two third down drops, those balls are catchable balls. The one Atlanta for Nelson Aguilar. You can't get an easier pass in the NFL than that ball. So he's actually shown up in some of the moments that I've questioned him in the past. This year, he's shown up. So I think that he's been the victim of some really bad receiver play. But there are times, like at the end of the Green Bay game, where you just have a 10-yard out to throw Alshon Jeffrey so Aaron Rodgers don't get the ball back and go down and win the game, which he should have won. So you have to make a throw like that. Streaking down the field, Alshon Jeffrey last game on the right side, you have to make those throws. Darren Sproles over the middle this last game on third down. You have to make those throws, especially when the team is gaining momentum like the Bears that had a big play with a 53-yard gain. If you can stunt that momentum in any way, it helps your team. So I don't think that he should be criticized from the aspect that he's not doing a good enough job. We just want him to do $100 million job, you know, and that's being and making the guys around you better in every way. I think that Carson can do a better job at ball placement. I think he can do a better job at knowing where the ball is going to based on the coverage. There's times where you look at it and you say, hey, Alshon Jeffrey has bump man. He has press coverage. Everybody else has off coverage. Why would you throw the ball to the guy that's pressed? It's going to be harder for him to get open when the guy's off. Throw it to the guy that's off. That happened multiple times these last three or four games. So he has to become better at decision making and also ball placement.
What's the relationship between the play call and that as well? Because you know there's certain guys that are running dummy routes, certain guys that where the ball's supposed to go there.
Well, in those situations, you as a quarterback are taught, okay, if it's cover one, you read this side of the field.
So you're going to change it, right?
If it's zone coverage, you read this side of the field. If everything is equal, you take the off coverage over the bump coverage because off coverage is a lot easier to pass on than bump coverage.
Yeah.
So there's different things like that that you know as a quarterback. Based on, like, the coverage, the progression changes. So those are the things that Carson has to get.
So you're saying he needs to get better pre-snap.
Yeah, it's like those are the things that he has to get better at. And understanding like personnel. Like if I have everyone's equal, I know that Zach Ertz is going to get open better than Nelson Aguilar or Alshon Jeffrey. And that's the thinking part of the game. I would say this is that I didn't get many balls, but Donovan knew in critical situations and on third down, no matter if I was first in the progression or fourth in the progression, that Jason has a higher chance of winning on this route in this situation than Deshaun did or Jeremy Maclin did. So he would say, okay, I know what the coach said, but I know that he's going to get open, so I'm going to throw him the ball. And you have to know that as a quarterback. And that's a part of just knowing and feeling the player in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, pre-snap is where, especially if you want to be Peyton Manning, you better be Peyton Manning pre-snap and know where to go with the football before the thing snapped. My only thing is, when we're talking about this, and it's why I don't give him as much blame, because I see guys making catches around the league that are absurd. Like, I mean, on Monday night, right, you saw Golden Tate, one hand, toe tap, 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 inbounds, goal line. You're like, you see it all over football, all over the league. I watch more league stuff than anything, and I see great receiver play. And all I see here is no one makes a catch, and most of the time they're just making drops.
True, and that's why I won't blame Carson. Like, I'm giving you what Carson can do better.
Yeah.
I'm not giving you, like I'm gonna make it. So now when you talk about the receiver play, I think that's like our biggest issue. It's, you know, one of our bigger issues, corner play and receiver play, big, really big issues. But yes, guys make plays and that's what you do. You make a play. And this is what the ability to make a play, not just the can of corn plays, when you're running down the field and a quarterback throws a ball directly to you, that's a play as a pro you're supposed to make. making plays is when the defense is better, when the cornerback has better leverage, when it's a 50-50 ball, you go up with better athleticism, better preparation, and you make the play despite the odds. That's why people pay Alshon Jeffrey what he gets paid, Nelson Aguilar what he gets paid. They get paid more because they're going to make the above standard play. And we're not seeing that as fans. We want plays to be made like the rest of the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm seeing guys, like you said, make one hand plays to make it contested catches.
Well, just
one
make
ball.
A couple catches. That's, you know,
yeah,
a couple. You know,
exactly.
Expand your catch radius. Yeah.
Exactly. Nelson Aguilar had a chance on the left sideline this past game, threw a jump ball to him, you know, and Princeton Mukamura's on him. Like, those are plays that most people's like, oh, he didn't drop it, but that was good pass defense. When you get paid $10 million, one-on-one balls you're supposed to come up with. And me, I would go to the film room, you know, and we would sit there and evaluate that. Like, hey, Jason, my coach would be like, hey, like, most people won't say anything about this, but look, we're paying you extra to make this play. We can get a guy that's a free agent to not make this play, but we're paying you a couple extra million dollars so you can make this play. So I expect you to make this play.
Yeah.
I wonder if we're having those conversations with us.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Listen, Jason, I love talking to you, man. You're awesome. You know how much I love you.
I love talking to you too, cuz. Always.
You're the best, brother. I'll see you soon. All right, enjoy your bye week a little bit. Relax.
Oh, yeah. I'll be sitting watching football. That's it. I love this game.
We love you, buddy. Take care, Jace.
All right. Take it easy, bud.
There he is, Jason Avant on the Comcast Business Hotline. Good stuff.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.